In this episode of the Smart City Podcast, you'll hear from me. I'm at the end of my 3-a-week schedule for 3 months, so I tell you a little bit about what I've learnt from the Smart City Podcast. So I give you the top 5 lessons that I've learnt from listening and having conversations with these awesome Smart City people. So as always, I hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
It's the Smart City Podcast, whoa, with Smart City experts, here we go. Connecting smart technology, both big and small. Smart cities are making life better for all. Big data, emerging trends, self-driving cars and more. Smart City Podcast is what you're looking for.
Hello, Smart City Collective. Zoe here. Did you know that I've been doing 3 episodes a week for the past 3 months now? And wow, that has been so much fun. And of course, I couldn't have done this without my podcast production manager and cup of tea / coffee drinker buddy, Ellen Ronalds Keane. So thank you so, so much. And thank you to everyone who's come along the journey with us. But now I'm going back to 1 a week with maybe a bonus episode here or there. And so today I want to share with you my top 5 lessons from doing this podcast and by accident, changing the way that I live my life. So number 1, these are in no particular order, but change is coming. So Marika spoke about this, the need to break down traditional ways of thinking. And also Darren spoke about this as well, about how we need to prepare for our smart future. Xanthia said, we are shaping the future. We are the ones that are going to be the decision makers. Change is inevitable, and I do not want to be left behind. And I thought that was really powerful. And I think what's important to realize is this change will happen to you, and it will also happen without you. And what I mean by that is that it's going to happen whether you involve yourself in the smart city space or not. And that's why I'm involved. Now, Brooke, of course, said, the world around us is changing. We're in the middle of a digital revolution. If we cannot apply digital technology to the modernization, the evolution, and the progress of our democracy, then I don't think we're trying hard enough. So this is the first mention of the digital democracy. So by the people, for the people. Which brings me to the next point, the human smart city movement. This particular phrase or statement came from our episode with Kylie Lake. However, this was a really strong recurring theme throughout the entire podcast, which a bit naive of me, I didn't think this would come through so strongly, but it has. And it's true. It's about a human-centric approach. It's about using the data that we collect to make better decisions. Because let's face it, these decisions are being made right now and wouldn't be better if we're making them being better informed by using data. Now, Janine said, smart cities really revolves around the human experience. For me, people are the central aspect of how we design our city. To me, technology is a way of getting to a point where we design cities that improve the experience of the citizens. So what experience the citizen has? Michael Leggett, which was a really interesting topic, he's the CEO of Resilient Grid, and I didn't expect this to come out so strongly, but he said, my biggest passion is finding the humanity in an ever-increasing high-tech world. And I loved that. And the name of that episode was The Key to Resilience is Human, which again, I didn't expect that to come out so strongly. And it was really, really awesome. The next one that I'd like to talk about is Catherine. So Catherine Willis said, we'll ask the question, who is the smart city for? So who are we building these things for? And of course, they're the humans, but which humans? Are we creating, you know, a better city just for the middle class or the upper class? Or are we creating a better city for everyone? Is this smart city, you know, creating a divide between people within the community. So it's something we really need to consider and think about. And Irina brought that back to the common denominator between all of us is that we are citizens and we all have a stake in this place. So we all have a stake in the smart city. And Nancy, we really discussed that theme of her episode was using technology as an enabler for social justice. So she said, there's something about the material manifestation of invention that enables us to be more mobile and to communicate, which are such human qualities. So that brings me to my next point, which is tech for good. So Laura Fulano said this, technology is a product of human creativity, which I loved. And you've probably heard me say that a number of times now. I love this because I really hadn't thought about it like that before. Tech doesn't just happen, doesn't just pop up out of nowhere. We humans create it. So Marcus spoke about the smart city being the nexus of people, place, and technology. And he said, one thing that I've learned in all this time is that we shouldn't allow ourselves to be blinded by the shiny new objects and these different devices. It's really important to focus on the actual problem spaces and the opportunity spaces, and then think of technology as a means to make a difference. So that really strong theme of technology for good is coming through. Then Adam and Claire both spoke about this. So I put them together, and this is about the power of open data. A number of other people also spoke about this as well. Brian Ashton, for example. So it's about using that data to make better decisions. Similar to the human aspect, tech for good, using the data to make good decisions, to make informed decisions. So Zubin also really pushed hard on this topic as well, which was how we use the data to not only make better decisions, but how we can collect that data, how we can bring the human back to the center, back to the heart of why we're doing what we are doing. What I liked about what Zubin said was that we don't just become experts for the sake of becoming experts. It's all bring back to that human factor. If we take off our hats, our different hats that we wear, at the end of the day, we're all trying to make life better for humans. So we really need to think about that and how technology can help us do that. And then Michael from Retina Visions, so he really spoke about tailoring that tech approach. So not just, thinking, oh, here's a great piece of technology, let's put it out there universally and everyone just use it the way, the way that it was intended to be used. He talked about really focusing down on the application or the city or the place that needs that technology and really tailoring that to suit them. Now, Tim spoke a lot about this as well, but more in the sense of he loves tech and he loves trying different things. And so that bring that agile approach. So not thinking of failure as a be all and end all. And Zubin spoke about that as well, but as more as a data point or a learning to move on to the next phase. And so I really liked that. Now, a bit of a different spin was Richard. So Richard Kidd from the US Army, he spoke about they want to incorporate technology into their army installations to help, the wounded warriors, but also to create a nice environment, I guess, for want of a better word, an environment where people want to come and they want to work. And so he really brought that home, that it wasn't just about tech for tech's sake. It's actually about, one, making people's lives better, but also attracting those people and keeping those people there. And that theme kind of recurred through to Michael Milford. So we talked a lot about tech and, autonomous vehicles and AI and machine learning and that type of thing. But his real passion is bringing that, bringing all that together and with talented human beings, so then we can create this really, this pool of talent that where people want to actually be. They don't have to leave, you know, Brisbane, is where he was talking about. They don't have to leave Brisbane because we're going to have really exciting projects where we are. And that kind of pushes out to the regional areas as well. So creating really cool projects and that keep people interested and also draw upon their, you know, their greatest skill sets in that talent pool. And then being able to, you know, work from anywhere, which I think was a really important part of that as well. And we use tech, and Ellen said this, use tech to buy back our leisure time. So it doesn't have to be just tech to be more efficient so we can do more work and so then everyone's working much more than they used to, or AI taking over the world and no one's working and we're all bored and you know, overweight and whatever else. It's that combination of, you know, we can use technology to help us. I think that's really important. So Julia spoke about, on a bit of a different, but similar, like using technology to build responsive cities. So she spoke a lot about Wellington and what they're doing in that space. And so it's about using technology to make, you know, really kind of inefficient processes that are happening now, they're already happening, and we need them to be more responsive so then people have a better experience in the city that they're living in. So that's what she kind of spoke about. And then on the real theme of tech for good was Nick Camels. So he is so passionate about using technology, or not even using technology. He's so passionate about the world. He's so passionate about creating a better world, and he can see that technology can help him do that. And so that theme came really strongly through. So the next one is collaboration. So we talked about using tech for good, and that really kind of leads into this collaboration. So we need the experts, we need the end users, we need the councils, we need the government, we need the admin, we need the project managers, we need the regulators, we need the disruptors, we need the planners, the engineers, technologists, the entrepreneurs, and Cynthia said the baristas, the artists, we need all these people to come together. So then we can create the smart city that we want. We can create the smart city that we need, that's available to everyone, everywhere. That was something that Angela said, that smart cities are going to affect everyone, everywhere. And so what skills do we need to create these smart cities? So Roxanne Griffith spoke about this to great length. She is training people today with the resources of today to build a better future tomorrow. And that's about collaborating across the different disciplines. And Andrew Grill spoke about this as well, about creating digital diversity. So collaborating not across just different, you know, groups or backgrounds or that kind of thing, but actually realizing that technology is the skill set that is required to make informed decisions about technology. It requires the people to know about technology, which means that you need people sitting at the table. They may be young, they may just be, you know, people that are working in the space, but you need that diversity so then we can make better decisions. So Danny from Smartest Technology Solutions, she said collaboration is really important. The word that she uses is co-creation. So it's about understanding each other's perspectives and working collaboratively in a genuine sense. And I like that genuine sense, because we can talk all we want about, oh yes, we collaborated with this person, this person, this person. But if it's not genuine, if we don't see each other, if we don't see each other as human beings working towards the same purpose, then it's not going to work. It's just lip service, and that's not useful. So leading on from that, Angela said, we need to be understanding what our purpose is and why we are doing things. The more positive impact we have, the better we service the people around us and improve the lives of everyone around us. So we should be using technology in that sense to make a difference and to make a sustainable change. And leading on, Chelsea spoke about it's no longer silos and different groups. It's a collaborative process, and cities who are already thinking like that and who are already rolling out projects in this same spirit, they are the ones that are getting to the head of the pack very quickly. So thinking about collaboration as a means to move forward And we need to think about that more and more. Now, one of the areas that really needs some improvement in the smart space is construction. So I spoke to Brittany Campbell-Turner, who has the Constructor podcast, and this is what she's trying to do. And construction, I'm very passionate about construction. That's where I came from. And I think that she spoke and continues to speak on her podcast about the collaboration piece. That's where she sees the real benefit. Yes, you'll be using technology, but it's actually the technology is about bringing people together. It's about building trust. So she spoke a lot about blockchain, as well as, you know, using BIM, she's smart cities, all that type of stuff. So she really spoke about making construction smarter through collaboration is the theme that I got from her. And on the same vein, on the same note, talking about blockchain. So then we've got, Leanne Kemp and Louise Mercer, who from Everledger, who spoke about using blockchain in the diamond industry. Now, it's not about using just because it's a new technology. It's actually about building trust between parties that wouldn't be able to trust each other normally. So that's really exciting, right? It has so much potential, and it's about collaboration. And Chris Castro, he also spoke about this. He sees smart cities as a way for his council, the departments within his council to work together collaboratively, to work across the departments. That's how he sees smart cities, which is really, really exciting. So it's about, for him, being intentional about that smart city space and each of the departments doing things that are feeding into that space and working together, not the way that they always used to. So that leads me to number 5, doing things intentionally and designing your own life, city, workplace, whatever term you want to put in there as well. So Colin Wright spoke at length about this. We don't just need the things that we thought we need because we thought that we need them. We can create the future that we want, and that's in work, life, play, workplace, cities, business. And then we can use smart cities as a way to create places for people that they actually want to be. And I think that's really, really important and really exciting as well. And of course, Ellen spoke about this a lot. We spoke about designing your own life and how you want to do that. And of course, I didn't think about this in great detail until I had this conversation with her. And it all fits into that smart city space. And I think people that are doing things a bit differently. So you've got Thibaut, who's got his virtual expo. You've got David Klingberg, who is also doing things in a more smart fashion. You've got Danielle Story, and you've got all these people that created their own, I don't want to say business, but created their own kind of way of working because they could see it was more efficient and it could fit into the smart city space. And then that could help other people or other businesses, governments, industries, etc., move in that fashion. But it's about they realize that it's not about doing things the way we always did them. It's about changing that process and then creating that city, life, workplace that we actually want, that is good for our health, that we really want to be there, rather than the other way around where we have to be there. We think that that's the be all and end all, that we have to do these things. So, 2 bonus points. The first bonus point is having a podcast is one of the best things that I have ever done. I absolutely love it, and I've met some really amazing people along the way. And the second bonus is I love learning. I always kind of knew this, but now I can really see that I love learning. And so Ollie and I spoke about this a lot, which was the last episode. So we talked about how we need to keep on learning. We need to keep on teaching. We need to keep on this pace so that we don't fall behind. And I think that's really important. I love learning, and I hope you do too. Now, I've got some really, really exciting people coming up in the next, over the next months or even more than that. But I've got lots of people lined up for you. I'm so excited to bring you all of this. And I'm also really excited about bringing you some other stuff as well. So I've got a lot of things in the pipeline. And so I really hope you can stick with me along this journey. And I'm really looking forward to collaborating with some of you or all of you. Reach out to me. You know where I'm at. And just thanks so much for listening to the Smart City Podcast. I have absolutely loved all of your comments, all of your feedback, all the people I've had, you know, spoken with, had conversations with. So stay tuned, and I really look forward to talking to you all again soon. Thanks. Bye.
It's the Smart City Podcast. Whoa.
Thanks so much for listening to the Smart City Podcast. Show notes for this episode and all other episodes can be found at thesmartcitypodcast.com. If you have any questions or comments for me or any of my guests, connect with me via email, zoe@thesmartcitypodcast.com, or via the socials. I'm on Twitter and Facebook at Smart City Pod. As always, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
Smart City Podcast is what you're looking for.